Simon, war crimes the world can no longer ignore. The war in Yemen is now in its third year, and the situation in the Arab world's poorest country is worsening by the day. As Saudi Arabia, the richest Arab country, with the support of the United States of America, continues its state-sponsored terrorism. Despite the destruction of the infrastructure and the spread of famine and epidemics. Stay with us for an analysis in this regard titled Yemen, War Crimes the World Can No Longer Ignore. The piece has been written by political analyst and expert on Yemeni affairs, Catherine Schachter. Stay with us. For all the lobbying Saudi Arabia may have exerted in turning Yemen into an unspoken graveyard so it could proclaim itself a liberator over southern Arabia, Yemen's suffering has become too grand and too grave to dismiss. Beyond the many and despicable sectarian adjectives the media may have wielded since 2015 to frame Yemen's war within a binary that has the region locked in fictitious crusader dynamics such as Shia Iran versus self-righteous Saudi Arabia, truths have had a way of eroding at such a construct. In the throes of a conflict that has ravaged more than just its infrastructure, civilians, military and otherwise, Yemen is quite simply being held dry of its people so Saudi Arabia could manifest those political realities it once dreamed of. Yemen's barren land, its destroyed villages and silent streets all testify to the horrors that befell a nation whose ambition was merely to rise independent within the confines of its sovereignty. Sayyid Hassan Ali al-Ahmad, the founder and secretary general of Yemen's growing new political faction, the Future of Justice, noted in an interview with me how dishonesty has so far prevented countries backing any real negotiations on Yemen. He said, until all war crimes and abuses against civilians are acknowledged, peace will remain a distant mirage. The law and our commitment to hold to justice principles is what can stop the bloodshed. Sayyid Hassan Ali al-Ahmad added, truths matter. Yemen has lost many more lives than what the United Nations has conceded. Casualties run in their tens of thousands. And the death toll is nearing those figures, as well as if we consider that famine and cholera have been turned into a weapon of war. In early August, UNLUSTMA, United Nations Development Programme UNDP country director, attested to Yemen's deepening crisis when he said, "The Yemeni people are enduring incredible hardship, with 70% of the population, about 20 million people, in need of humanitarian assistance. Additionally, some 400,000 cases of cholera have been recorded in the past few months and have resulted in 1,900 deaths in Yemen." UNLUSTMA, a United Nations Development Programme official, added, "The current food security crisis is a man-made disaster, not only resulting from decades of poverty and underinvestment, but also as a war tactic, through economic strangulation. If the international community is, how should I put it, late to the party when it comes to speaking up about Yemen's war, Saudi Arabia's organized blackout has now waned enough for information to swim through that unspoken ocean of misinformation we all have been drowning in." A confidential United Nations report obtained by Reuters news agency last week confirmed what many already knew, if not suspected, that Saudi Arabia's war crimes have become much too unpalatable for any responsible power to entertain. According to the United Nations experts, 51% of all child deaths and injuries in Yemen last year were the result of the Saudi-led military operation, a figure that the report calls unacceptably high. The report said attacks carried out by air caused over half of all child casualties in Yemen, with at least 349 killed and 333 injured. If I may quickly stray from the subject at hand, I would like to point out that no information coming out of the United Nations is ever unwittingly leaked to the press. Rather, that confidential report was put in the hand of the media so its content could be shared without its consequences bearing upon its source. Although such detail may seem inconsequential, at the moment, I read in it a clear sign that Saudi Arabia's lobbying machine is fast running out of room to operate. Blood has come too fast and too thick for the most radical of neocons to back Riyadh's adventure and still paint it as lawful. No matter how loudly Riyadh will argue that it is operating within international law, few now will listen. An analysis by the researchers at London's Queen Mary University found that 8 out of 10 cholera deaths in Yemen occur in areas controlled by the popular government in Sana'a, which is ironically called rebel by the mainstream Western media. Researchers at Queen Mary University in London, Jonathan Kennedy, Andrew Harmer, and David McCoy, wrote in a joint report that since the so-called government in Aden is supported by a Saudi-led coalition, and this alliance commands far greater resources than the Ansarullah movement, as a result, areas under control of Sana'a have been disproportionately affected by the conflict, which has created conditions conducive to spread of cholera. They added, the Saudi-led airstrikes have destroyed vital infrastructure in Yemen, including hospitals and public water systems. They hit civilian areas and displaced people in crowded and unsanitary conditions. A Saudi-enforced blockade of imports has caused shortages of, amongst other things, food, medical supplies, fuel and chlorine, and restricted humanitarian access to Yemen. Saudi Arabia's abuses in Yemen are not a figment of anyone's imagination. They are a reality, a fact. A reality that if not addressed will allow for the genocide of a people. Yemen's war proper has long gone beyond the political or the geopolitical. Communities have been earmarked for the slaughter, whilst US officials argue about job creation. Yes, Mr. President Donald Trump, the award goes to you as far as cold pragmatism is concerned. That was a tremendous day, tremendous investment in the United States, hundreds of billion dollars of investment in the United States and jobs, jobs, jobs. I recall a joyful President Trump declared as Riyadh signed its name to a lucrative weapons deal. If one can understand the pull of money can hold over state officials, politics, after all, is not child's play. Empowering fanatical despots is still counterintuitive. However, stomach-churning the idea of an alliance with the popular government in Sana'a may be to the so-called international community, it rings better than the backing of a genocide made in Wahhabist Saudi Arabia. Time will surely tell.